Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Unicron issue number 1. San Diego Comic-Con is hosting a couple of Transformers panels, and we have some more information on those vinyl repressings of the original Transformers G1 score. Today is Friday, July 13th, 2018, and this is episode 85 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's joined Unicron's Army of Darkness. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Yo. Let's talk Transformers.
All right, and as always, starting off with our Donatrions, and a shout-out to our newest members of the Patreon, Kim, Jason, and Noah. Thank you guys for joining up, and you are now entered into our five-year anniversary mega contest. Everyone who enters and joins either through PayPal or Patreon to become a Transmission supporter, monthly supporter, you get an entry into the contest. And if you are at the $10 or more level, you get two entries. So keep it up.
So be sure to update all your pledges to $50, everybody.
Still want to get two entries, but yeah. And now that y'all have joined the Patreon, sign up, get into our Discord, get some of those Discord benefits.
Listen to the show live every week. Chat with us whenever. We're always on there. We have just recently updated our Transmission swag. We've got some new t-shirts that we're offering on our Spreadshirt store. We've got links to that directly from our website. You can go to our Transmissions shop. And for our Patreons, we've got that exclusive shop where you get everything 20% off. So you will definitely want to check out these new shirts. We've got a Soundwave-themed shirt designed by our editor of the show, Mike. Thank you, Mike, for that awesome design. For legal reasons, the shirt is called Tape Man, but you can tell it's a Soundwave shirt, and it's got a Transmissions tape in the chest compartment.
And if you can get that tape to play, that's our episode 0 we've never released.
My dream is to one day release that on a cassette.
All right, well, that's all our Donatrion news, so let's get into the show with some comics news. All right, starting off, we've got the update on the Transformers panels at San Diego Comic-Con for Thursday and Friday of next week. So on Thursday, we've got a panel with Transformers Unicron and Beyond, featuring IDW Editor-in-Chief John Barber, Associate Publisher David Hedgecock, Editor David Marriott, and Hasbro's Director of Global Publishing, Michael Kelly. So the IDW-Hasbro relationship is going strong, probably has a little to do with John Barber being named Editor-in-Chief. I think he's had a really good relationship with the Hasbro folks. And they're talking about the Unicron blockbuster event. And they'll fill you in on what's in store for the Autobots and offer a hint at what comes next. So there is something coming next after the Unicron series wraps up the current Transformers universe.
I guess he could just say, after this, nothing happens. We're done.
They could say that. That would be pretty anticlimactic, but I guess it's possible. So that's happening Thursday, July 19th at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time at San Diego Comic-Con. That same day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., directly after that panel, we're going to have the Hasbro panel where they show off all their new toys. So they're going to have Bumblebee the movie toys. They're going to have the Generations War for Cybertron toys. Going to have Cyberverse. Some initiatives from trusted partners. Wonder what that'll be. And the induction of the 2018 Transformers Hall of Fame members.
And that's in the same room immediately after.
Ah, yes, it is. So stick around. We've also got Thursday evening, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. This is Comic-Con 2018 Writing Great Dialogue. So we've got in this panel, it's more a general panel on writing stories, but we've got Nicole DeBook, who has written on My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and Transformers Rescue Bots. We've got Craig Miller, who has written on Beast Wars and Curious George, if you're into that, along with a couple of other writers who I don't believe have done any Transformers property. Marsha Griffin has written on Guardians of the Galaxy and Miles from Tomorrowland. And Matt Wayne, who's written on Justice League Unlimited and Cannon Busters. So Friday, we've got a couple of other Transformers related stuff. First up is Hollywood Location Scouts. So I guess this is looking at how they scout locations, and they do have someone, Manny Padilla, who did location scouts for Transformers Age of Extinction. So maybe not really that Transformers focused, but one guy's
adjacent.
In there. Huh?
Transformers adjacent.
The Transformers adjacent, yes. So that is happening on Friday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And so we've got I guess we'll talk more about this in media news, but we've also got the Hall H presentation for the Bumblebee movie. That's 5 to 6 p.m. Friday evening.
And Hall H is the big hall.
Yes. So that's going to be Bumblebee's coming out. Hopefully we'll get another trailer. The director's there. Travis Knight's there. Haley Steinfeld, the star of the movie. And some other people. Lastly, from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Friday, Make a Living Off Your Art. So we've got artists, including John Bailey, the epic voice guy who does the Honest Trailers YouTube videos and also has done lots of Transformers voices. He filled in for Optimus Prime in the Combiner Wars web series before they got Peter Cullen to take over in parts 2 and 3. We've got, I think that's the only Transformers related person. So that's all the Comic-Con stuff. So we're going to get some good, there's some good Comic-Con stuff coming through this year. So stay tuned. That'll probably be 2 weeks before we talk about that. I guess we'll talk about that, the shows after Comic-Con. So we're looking forward to it.
Yes.
Next up, Andrew Griffith has put out some sketches of his Bumblebee design for the Bumblebee comic that is the movie prequel, Bumblebee movie prequel, because that he is doing the art on that, and that's written by John Barber. So it's the team up returning to their roots with the movie tie-in comics. This shows Bumblebee's robot mode and car design. Bumblebee has a real face in the comics. So that's nice. And he turns into a 1960s era Aston Martin.
Well, it's a blend of Carmen Bia with an Aston Martin.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. And he talks. Did I mention he talks in the Bumblebee prequel? I love that. Crossing my fingers that he talks in the movie. We've also got more Comic-Con news. We've got the announcement of the Unicron number one San Diego Comic-Con exclusive cover. So this is the image that the IDW has been using in their promotional art. This is the Alex Milne. It's art by Alex Milne, colors by Josh Perez. We use this image as our flyer to advertise our Unicron, a special Unicron interview for Free Comic Book Day.
With permission.
Yes, with permission. But yeah, this is the really super detailed redesign of Unicron in robot mode that Alex has done. It's a very awesome image. And it's going to be a gatefold image on the cover for Unicron number one. So if you're at San Diego Comic-Con, you might want to pick those up. It's going to be $10.
I hope that this comic is available at Fan Expo because I want this.
Yeah, this is a really awesome image. All right. And lastly, we've got a video from John Barber. This is published on the IDW YouTube channel. And Barber talks about the upcoming Unicron series. So it's a really nice video. It's less than 2 minutes. It is John Barber in his new role as editor-in-chief for IDW, which is cool. And he does explicitly say that there's going to be lots of stuff coming. Yeah, he makes a point to say this is not the end of Transformers with IDW, but it is the end of this universe. More indication that the IDW-Hasbro relationship is going to continue after this year.
Yeah, I thought it was neat how he pulled out the first issue of Infiltration as well. Say it went from this to this, and there will be more, cool. But this is the complete story.
All right, so that's all our comics news. So let's move on to our comic review.
Transmissions wouldn't be what it is today without the awesome support of our listeners. If you'd like to support our shows and enjoy the exclusive benefits that our donors get, please visit transmissionspodcast.com/support.
Hello, faithful listeners. Snazzy Mike here. The guys are about to review Unicron number 1, which takes place after Optimus Prime number 21. So if you don't want to get spoiled, go ahead and jump ahead to the 39-minute mark, and we'll see you here for media news.
This week, we are going to review Transformers Unicron number 1. Written by John Barber, art by Alex Milne, colors by Sebastian Cheng, letters by Tom B. Long, editor David Marriott, and publisher Greg Goldstein. As with all IDW events, there are a shit ton of covers. 8 covers. I'm not going to describe them all. There are 8 covers. You can look in the book. That's inside cover of the book. See all the covers.
IDW, you're pissing Charles off. I just want you to know.
It's just every event. There's just too many covers.
They've broken Charles.
There are some fun images here. So, Yoshi, I'm going to start with you. Which of these covers are you liking here?
Let me guess. Okay. I'm going to take a wild fucking guess here.
Go for it.
Retailer incentive cover C.
That's a negative.
Oh, shit. I am wrong.
At least it was until you said that.
No, it's just not the one. I'm going for you know, it's a tie between the Diamond retailer and the San Diego exclusive. I would be happy with it. I almost kind of want the Diamond one more because there's not the little comic edition stamp on the bottom right.
So the promo image that was for what convention was it announced at? This image was produced. The Unicron image was produced for a specific New York convention. Comic-Con? Was it? It wasn't New York though, was it?
I think it was.
Whatever. I don't think it was, but it was.
Wonderfest.
WonderFest.
WonderCon.
Yes. Okay. So WonderFest
is in Japan.
Yeah.
We're betting 1,000.
We are not good journalists. Yeah. So this is the promo image that that was used and produced for that. They slapped on the cover. So yeah, this is a great image. Good choice.
I don't feel like with the additional 8 other covers or 7 other covers they made, they were able to top this one, which makes you wonder why they bothered.
And Daryl, you should have guessed it because Unicron is covering the logo.
Oh, that's true.
All right. Jeremy, which one are you picking?
While I really like that image, I'm going for retailer incentive C, which is Sarah Petrodura-Shea's take on the original Marvel number 1 cover. I plan on getting that as a print the first chance I get. Like first convention that we're both at, or if she's not coming to TFCon Chicago, I've already told Daryl to pick me up one. There are a ton of really good covers here, but that one, I've been eyeing that one for a while.
All right. Daryl, which one do you like?
Yeah, this is an embarrassment of riches with regards to the covers to pick from this week. Not to mention, you know, Alex is one of my favorite artists of all time. He did 4 of the 8 covers here. I think I'm probably just going to go with the cover A, just the original cover A, because it there's such a large amount of stuff in the cover. It depicts a lot of what's happening. It gives a story of who's in the book. It's just a great image. Honorable mention to Andrew Griffith's cover. That's it. Retailer incentive cover C, or sorry, cover A. And because it's like Optimus doing the Atlas pose, holding Unicron on his back. Sure, it's not in scale, but it's surely is evoking what's going on in the story, where Optimus is really feeling the weight of the Unicron event on his back. It's a gorgeous cover, truly. But like I said, an embarrassment of riches with these covers this week.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And I think I'm going to pick the last Alex Milne cover. So this is the Stadium Comics exclusive cover. I really like that homage to the 86 movie poster. And it's just a cool image.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Jeremy, what are you going to do? All four of us picked different covers.
That means I'll probably just pick one at random.
He'll pick the one he picked.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see when it's like last minute and I've realized I forgot to do the image.
All right, let's get into the story. As the monster planet Unicron threatens another Cybertronian colony world, Optimus Prime reflects on what led him to this point. He never believed the old stories of the ancient gods Primus and his opposite Unicron doing battle, or the prophecy that said the Arisen, the 13th Prime, would appear when Unicron returned to slay the beast and bring peace to Cybertron. He never believed, but he did use other bots' religious beliefs in him to protect Cybertron and to protect the Earth by claiming it as a Cybertronian colony world. But it was all for naught. Unicron, the Chaos Bringer, is real, and it's come for all of Cybertron's colonies. Today, it threatens Kaminus, the homeworld of Windblade, Aileron, the Torchbearers, and the Mistress of Flame. Optimus Prime leads the combined forces of the Autobots and Decepticons, along with Rom the Space Knight, to defend the planet, and, if they fail, to buy time to evacuate the Kamian citizens through the space bridge to Cybertron. Surprisingly, Unicron has an army of minions leading the charge before the planet consumes its meal. The Beastformer Maximals, who previously served the evil Primes Liege Maximo and Onyx Prime, who turned out to be Shockwave all along, until he was captured, have somehow become Unicron's advance army. Their savage assault on the Autobots and Decepticons defending Kaminus begins mounting casualties. As the attack intensifies, Soundwave makes a valiant effort to reason with the Maximals, but his pleas fall on deaf ears. The Maximals are not in the mood for talking, and whatever their reasons for serving Unicron, they're not telling. Optimus commends Soundwave for his efforts at diplomacy, but is resigned to doing things the old-fashioned way, all-out war. Optimus orders the Autobot and Decepticon forces to hold off the Maximals at all costs, as he, RC, and Bumblebee make a desperate attempt to breach the core of Unicron and find some way to stop the monster from the inside. The Mistress of Flame predicted that the Maximals' ship would land on the surface of Unicron, and Prime sees this as an opportunity they need. Bumblebee pilots his attack shuttle on a collision course with the Maximal ship's central eye. He bails out just as the ship crashes through, creating an opening. RC and Prime, equipped with jetpacks, fly into the opening with Bumblebee in tow. Back on the surface of Kaminus, the Mistress of Flame, Aileron, Pyromagna, and the Torchbearers work to get the space bridge to Cybertron online and lead the evacuation. The Mistress of Flame still has faith in Optimus Prime as the arisen true Prime, but Pyromagna has had enough of the Primes. She has no confidence in Optimus Prime's leadership or any belief in his divine status. Religious faith won't save them from the Maximal army or the giant planet coming to devour them all. In orbit, the battle isn't going well. Soundwave and Rom continue to lead the Cybertronian forces against the Maximals, but they're being overwhelmed. Dirge sacrifices his life to save Sparkstalker and Lightbright, but the Maximals continue to close in. In bewilderment, Rom asks, what do they want? Why do they continue to attack? Inside Unicron, Optimus Prime, RC, and Bumblebee search for some weak point or vulnerability that they can exploit. As they get deeper, they see parts of the planets Unicron has already absorbed. From LV117, they see a painting of a Quintesson. And even deeper, they see a living forest from another world. And even deeper still, they find the remains of an Omega Sentinel, one of Cybertron's ancient protectors. The only other Omega Sentinel they've known is Omega Supreme, and he's still back on Cybertron. Bumblebee asks Prime if this is evidence that could mean the stories and ancient prophecies about the Arisen could be true. But Prime doesn't have any answers, only more questions. Just as they're considering their next move, monstrous creatures appear and attack. On Kaminus, the end is near. The Maximals are overrunning the Autobots and Decepticons' forces, but the Torchbearers have gotten the space bridge open, and the Kamians' evacuation is almost complete. But someone needs to hold them off a little longer. Pyra Magna steps forward, but the Mistress of Flame interrupts. Since Pyra Magna has abandoned her faith and the Way of the Flame, Kaminus is the Mistress of Flame's responsibility alone. As Aileron drags Pyra Magna through the space bridge back to Cybertron, the Mistress of Flame provides the final cover fire, literally, with the power of Solus's Forge. Inside Unicron, the mutated creatures appear to be Unicron's immune system, and they see Prime, RC, and Bumblebee as a virus to be eliminated. They give Prime a good thrashing, and there's nothing left Prime and his team can do. Bumblebee contacts Soundwave and tells him to teleport them out as Unicron begins to consume Kaminus. The Mistress of Flame's sacrifice was not in vain. The people of Kaminus survive on Cybertron, even as Unicron devoured their world. Soundwave sent Optimus Prime and his team to their ship, the Arc Zero, so they've got to hightail it back to Cybertron to prepare for Unicron's next assault. On Cybertron, Starscream watches the activity and new arrivals to Iacon City with interest. He's back to his old ways, scheming to reclaim his position of power. Starscream has come to observe Shockwave in his prison cell, deciding on his next move. Shockwave is still defiant, gloating that everything is happening due to the plans he's set in motion. He tries to sell Starscream on the idea of a new Decepticon Empire rising from the ashes of Cybertron's destruction. Since Shockwave allowed the Visionaries to taint the Energon at the core of Cybertron, when Unicron comes to consume their planet, it will be a poison that kills the monster once and for all. And then Shockwave and Starscream will pick up the pieces to conquer the rest of the universe. But Starscream isn't looking for a partner. After the events of the Falling story arc, and Shockwave playing him for a fool, he's not interested in anything Shockwave has to say. Starscream's got his own plan to set in motion. Meanwhile, Optimus Prime's ship lands, and he and his team emerge to greet Windblade and a crowd of Cybertronians. Prime doesn't have any good news for them. Unicron doesn't appear to have any weaknesses. They sacrificed Kaminus to enact this plan and came up empty. With all the other 10 colony worlds destroyed and Alita One's colony ship Carcer in orbit around Cybertron, they're all that's left between Unicron and the last Cybertronian colony, Earth. Now, at their lowest point, another bot challenges Optimus Prime and Windblade for leadership of Cybertron. Starscream floats above the crowd, waving an enormous Decepticon flag. Starscream gloats that the Autobots have failed, but he knows exactly how to save Cybertron. Prime's response, over my dead body. To be continued. We also had a backup story, which I think when we had the interview with John Barber and Alex Milne for Free Comic Book Day, John mentioned that each of the Unicron issues would get a 4-page backup story that would wrap up other parts of the IDW Hasbro universe. And this story focuses on Rom and the Soul Star Knights, this 4-page backup story called Ad Infinitum. It's written by Chris Ryle, art by David Messina, colors by Alessandra Alexakis, letters by Tom B. Long, edits by David Marriott, and victim of Unicron, Christos Gage. And at the very end of the issue, it says, with love and respect for the original Knights of the Soul Star Order, Bill and Sal. Thanks, everyone. That's a note from Chris Ryle. So Bill, of course, is Bill Mantlow, and Sal is Sal Buscema. So this is a short story. I mean, there's not too much to tell. It's just Rom and some of the other Soul Star Knights dealing with the fallout of the destruction of Alonia that we saw in Unicron number 0. So Rom has to convince his fellow knights to continue to fight on, even though their own homeworld has been destroyed, that there's still something left fighting for. So it's a nice little self-contained story. It focuses on Rom and his fellow knights. And then further, we've got an interview with Simon Furman and EJ Sue at the very back of the book, because they were the ones who kicked off the whole IDW universe. They get a nice little interview to talk about what their thoughts are as the series is wrapping up. So that's Unicron number one. This was a very satisfying comic for me. The art, it was just exactly what I am looking for in a Transformers comic. Alex Milne has brought his A game. He knocked it out of the park. Sebastian Cheng's colors are an awesome compliment. Everything was, I just thoroughly enjoyed this entire story. All the visual storytelling was really well done. I mean, in particular, there were a couple of scenes that just really stood out to me. The whole sequence when the Mistress of Flame is sacrificing herself to save Kamenas. And there are like series of panels where it shows her handing her, you know, her big hammer over to Pyra Magna. And then Pyra Magna has, you know, she takes it as she survives the destruction. And then she's, you know, she's cradling the hammer in her hands to remember the Mistress of Flame. The little touches like that are just really stood out for me. And the story, I thought, was it does feel a little bit like it's a kind of a, I mean, maybe this is the problem of having the Free Comic Book Day be issue zero, because it does feel like a little bit of a rehash of that, because it's again Unicron coming in and destroying another world. So it's kind of a desperate race against the clock as Unicron consumes another planet. But I'm on board for this. This is really, I think this is shaping up to be a really satisfying conclusion to the IDW universe. So Yoshi, what were your thoughts on this comic?
I didn't think it sucked. Well, I mean, that's just a high praise. Optimus Prime wasn't acting like a pussy. He grew a pair. I think that's great, because it's more attuned to the Prime I know. It's really, really unfortunate. It takes the end of life as he knows it for this side of him to come out. Yeah, I'm kind of want to see what happens next. It was a good story.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually this is something that John Barber has talked about before, is that his vision of Prime is that Prime is not a peacetime leader. Like, Prime, throughout the Optimus Prime series and even earlier in the Transformers series, he's kind of had to navigate this whole political spectrum of trying to, you know, maintain a peace between all these different people and involve himself in politics. And that kind of neuters what Prime does. Prime is kind of the guy you want on the front lines leading the charge. And even Bumblebee says, you know, this is Prime's time to shine when the universe is at stake.
Right. But like, you know, I don't know. Hey, you put this, you create an interpretation of the character that has this flaw. And that's like the only side of him we ever see. I don't know. I feel like if it comes right down to it, John is not a writer, not an artist. He is an entertainer, and you need to use your characters in an entertaining way to entertain the masses. And watching Prime fuck up in a political environment is not entertaining. It's embarrassing. It's not something I enjoy reading. It's not something I enjoy watching. It's not something I wanted to see ever. I don't know. I mean, I really simplified it, and you elaborated on it more, but it's unfortunate. It takes the end of this universe to finally recognize this guy. But
all right. Daryl, what did you think?
I thought it was enjoyable, really enjoyable. The art's incredible. There's detail on top of detail on top of detail. You don't expect to see such detail on modern comics, but then we've known Alex's art for quite some time. I think we got used to it, and then we got spoiled by it. And then when it gets taken away, you get upset because, wait a minute, where did it go? There's an image here that has where they're returning to Cybertron, and there's a it's a scenic image where it's got Metroplex in city mode, and you're looking at the skyline, and it's just there's so much detail in that panel. It's incredible. And then there's some shots of the inside of Unicron, where you're seeing so many different types of worlds all kind of clashed and merged into one. It really is a phenomenal piece of work, and the colors bring it out too. So Sebastian's work really does add to this. The writing is great. It's part one of six, so I didn't expect to get real far. We lost some characters right off the hop. Mistress of Flame is dead. Dirge was bisected fairly gruesomely by Rampage, right?
But heroically.
Heroically, yes. Sacrificing himself. That panel with him getting chopped in half is gross. His guts are splooned out all over the place, right? But yeah, he's dead too. It's not looking good for our heroes. And it's this book is shaping up to be one of the best so far as miniseries. And I think it has to do a lot with the writing and the art on it. For me, it's been no secret that I like the violence in it. I like the death and destruction. You don't have to be so careful with your characters. Obviously, they're not. They're ending this universe. They're killing them off. Let them go. The writing is definitely very powerful here. There's some emotion in it. I'm really enjoying this. There's a panel here up near the beginning where you're seeing some lines from Bumblebee, but it's just a quick little line. But they kind of Alex drew the panel for it kind of on a tilt and intersected it inside of the panels for another shot, and it's very rough, but it gives it gives the impression of it being like emergency situation kind of thing. Right. It's that kind of thing. It's, it's not just straightforward paneling. I like that. It's, it's different. I'm up for this. Like Charles said, this is the end, but I'm up for the ride. Let's go.
Nice. All right, Jeremy, give me all the Beast Wars characters cameos in that 2-page spread.
I am not Chris McFeely.
That 2-page spread was amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I will say, I noticed Cryotech or whoever I guess it's Transmetal 2 Beast Wars Megatron's form, but I think it was used later in Beast Machines. I really need to rewatch that whole series. It was weird seeing like some of these characters with like Earth Beast modes, like a Triceratops head and stuff. I'm like, we're not going to make or get any kind of reason for that. But seeing characters like, Beast Wars Megatron in here. It's nice seeing them on the page. You got a smaller version or a smaller image of Optimus Primal. I'm under no illusion that these are going to get any kind of characterization. It's just too late in the game for that.
If Unicron had appeared or battled or attacked Earth before, wouldn't that have been some kind of reasoning as to why the Beast Wars characters?
Well, I guess, and Shockwave had been to Earth during the prehistoric era, so he's seen these creatures. So yeah, okay, it makes sense. But just it was. I had to read this a couple of times to kind of wrap my head around everything that was happening, particularly the first couple of pages. But this is how you want it to kick off, and I doubt it's going to slow down. I figure the Optimus Prime book is going to after the current arc ends, until the end is going to tackle some of the slower parts, some of the more character details. But I think this is just going to be balls to the wall action in the series. At least I hope so. It was nice seeing Optimus Prime having the double barreled cannons from the Power Master form, and he also has his Energon axe, so I mean pulling out a lot of things like that. And I mean, we got to see Mistress of the Flame actually do something. That was nice, even though she died. I greatly enjoyed this book. It was fantastic all the way around. And then the backup story, the creative team on that, for the most part, was the creative team on ROM. I went back and looked at it. The letters were done by Sean Lee and the ROM series, at least at the beginning where I was looking at the credits. But David Messina did the art. Alexandra Alexakis did the colors. I mean, pretty much the entire team, and the Unicron victim, Christos Gage, because he didn't do this story where he was on the series. So that was a really nice tie-in, and I would expect to see the other books are going to be whoever the creative team was on that series. I would hope to see doing the backup story. I think that's a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool.
And then I don't know if you guys read through the interviews, but it was really, really neat to read, particularly like Simon Furman's thoughts on what he created from the beginning and what it had evolved into. It was really neat.
Yeah, it was nice to see that Simon Furman had kept up with the IDW comics and was pleased with where they had gone after he had left. Yeah, so that's Unicron number one. I do want to mention that they show the cover from Unicron number two for the next issue. And it's an interesting team that Starscream's assembled here. So you've got Starscream, he's got Alita One. So you know Alita One is she's, you know, not happy with Windblade or the rest of the Cybertronian government. So it's interesting that looks like he might have co-opted her. And then you've got Air Razor from the Eucharist, the Beast Planet, Knockout from Velocitron, and then Firestar, who we last saw in More Than Meets the Eye, but you know she's from Kaminus. So Starscream's got his own kind of B team, wondering what his plan is for trying to stop Unicron. And he's smirking there pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me excited just for the next issue.
Yeah. No, also the checklist on the last page, already wrong. we'll see, yeah, if we get Optimus Prime 21 and 22 and Lost Light 21 and 22 in July.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Interesting, though, that they did. So they did stop double shipping in September. So they pushed everything. Not that I don't know if they'll be on track by September anyway, but they did stretch things out a bit for the final issue. So September and October has split the books up again. But yeah, given that we haven't gotten Optimus Prime or Lost Light number 21 yet, and we're just getting 20 the same week that Unicron 1 comes out.
So. I wish that they would take the checklist and turn it into a reading list. We know that Lost Light is essentially on its own and doesn't really need to be included, but I, for one, would like to know if I need to read an Optimus Prime issue before I need to read a particular Unicron issue.
Yeah, that would be more helpful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely this issue one takes place after the end of the Falling story arc, which doesn't end until Optimus Prime 21. So you can't read Optimus Prime 21 before you read this issue, unfortunately. Well, I guess you could put it in a drawer until whenever Optimus Prime 21 comes out. But we already spoiled it for you. But that is it. That is Unicron number one. So let's move on to some Transformers media news.
We got some official Transformers website updates with Transformers Cyberverse animated characters. And so we got a whole bunch of images with pictures of what the animated characters are going to look like. And this was kind of fun to just kind of take a look and see what they were going to look like. We got a bit of a rundown. I don't know whether we'd actually even known what characters were going to appear on the show before. From the Autobots, we got Optimus Prime. Big surprise, he's in it. Bumblebee, we knew he was going to be in it. Windblade, that was also known. Wheeljack, I kind of forget whether we knew. Ratchet, Grimlock, Hot Rod, Prowl, and Blur. And those are all really kind of a surprise at the end there. I didn't know. Wheeljack looks like he's got a mustache and a beard, which is kind of funny.
you remember the Masterpiece toy when you pull off the faceplate. That's what you got.
On the Decepticon side, we got Megatron, no surprise, Starscream, Thundercracker, Shadow Striker, Shockwave, which has been the toy that's out, Slipstream, Soundwave, and Acid Storm. Acid Storm, but no Skywarp. Skywarp really gets shafted here on this. That's unfortunate, but so be it. Maybe a season two, we'll be seeing Skywarp. I like the designs. I mean, they're fun. They're G1 relevant, not too like hard edged, but they're fun. They're cartoony. You know, they're not as dark as Prime was. They're probably closer to RID than anything, but and that's the new RID, obviously. But I really like them. Is there any surprises here on this list for anybody, Charles?
Shadow Striker, I think that was
okay.
Kind of a, I mean, female Decepticon. I mean, two female Decepticons with Slipstream and Shadow Striker. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and Shadow Striker does kind of look like she's got a spider head.
A little bit.
I don't know of any other Decepticon with a spider head they could use, really. I don't know.
But what does she turn into?
Looks like a motorcycle, I would guess, or a car.
Yeah.
Jeremy, are there any surprises on this list for you?
I mean, outside of Shadow Striker, what I noticed was Starscream's mold is different from the other jets. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like Acid Storm, Slipstream, and Thundercracker are all sharing the same mold, but Starscream's is different. Yeah. That's kind of a break from tradition.
Starscream doesn't have those shoulder pylons, and his elbow or shoulder pads are different.
But and the cockpit is shaped different. So just outside of that, I really am digging the designs of these. They look fun. You look at them and you recognize them from the G1 characters, but they're, you know, it's its own take, you know. So yeah, I know looking at this, I know. Oh yeah, that was G1 Windblade, but this is a new look for Windblade. I really like it. So
I saw a tweet from Casey Caller commenting about the blur design, saying that this is really taking from the IDW blur, and I can totally see it. And he was saying, even though it's Guido's initial design, he says this is really an IDW blur, and yeah, I totally get that. Yoshi, any interest in, you know, sitting down with your kid and watching this show?
Maybe not quite at her age. I don't know if anyone's pointed this out in the past, but I find it odd that Wheeljack's rocking a beard.
I said that at the start. Yeah.
Did you say that? I'm sorry, I missed it.
It's okay.
Obviously.
And I brought up that it's actually in the Masterpiece toy if you take off the faceplate. But yeah.
Well, I'm worthless, everybody.
So why not... Would you watch the show? You know, just maybe check it out. It's supposed to be for a younger audience.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll check it out.
All right. Cool. Yeah, but...
They haven't announced any voice casts, have they?
I don't think so.
We're assuming Peter Cullen is going to be playing Optimus. Yeah.
But no, I haven't heard anything about voice casting or anything like that. This show's got to be getting close, though. So, fall, I would say. I think that's what we got. We got news on it being in the fall.
Yeah, I think September-ish.
Mm-hmm. Also, in media news, we got that full repress of the vinyl score for the G1 show went ahead this past week, and we got images of all the available represses. As I understand it, there were 6 to get. Am I right? The story we're looking at here says there's 3. From what I understand, talking with Doug or not, there were 6.
Yeah, there were, this top image here there was the Optimus split, the Megatron split, Starscream split, and then...
Then there was a Think Geek a tie-dye exclusive. Looking one, was Soundwave. So there was a Soundwave one.
And then there was an Autobot Decepticon.
Three from the publisher, and then 3 from the retailer exclusive ones. 3 from Enjoy the Records website directly. And the link below is the 3 variants from the other.
Gotcha. So, yeah. So, there's definitely 3 from each. So, you got 6 to get if you're going to collect them all, Doug, which I think you did already. I'm looking at them, and I saw a lot of different ones. One of them definitely looks like it's a Pepsi can.
Yeah. Yeah, the Optimus Prime
But one. The other one, I've never been a Soundwave like fanboy, but god damn, that Soundwave one looks good. Like, holy shitballs.
It's like the perfect shade of blue.
It's just like a magical blue.
It would go great with a particular shirt. It
certainly would. But I like these. I mean, I did just buy a record player, so maybe I should try and get one of these. But I don't know. It's a gorgeous looking Soundwave record. I really like that a lot. Did any of you guys go and get one?
These haven't sold out.
That, yeah. Did Jeremy? Did you go? I mean, you got the first run of these, so I mean, you don't really have any kind of incentive to go for the next one. But did you look at them?
Well, yeah, I did pick up one for a friend that lives out of the country. He asked if I could grab one. So I got to fulfill my desire for getting another one, but it's not for me. So the disc is the only thing that's different. The music's the same. The case is the same. Everything. I mean,
okay, go ahead, Charles.
Yeah. I mean, I have the Megatron one and I also don't have a turntable yet. So I'm not trying to get anymore. So, but yeah, looks like the Enjoy the Ride variants, they have each one had a total of 750. Looks like as of this recording, they're each about 2/3. Well, the Optimus Prime mm-hmm. looks about a half, and the Megatron and Starscream are about 2/3 sold. So maybe by the time this goes up Friday, there'll be some left. And the retailer exclusive ones also appear to be mm-hmm. available. They're so if you want it, there. It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And that's it for media news this week.
All right. Let's move on to reviewing Power of the Primes episode. No,
we're done with that. Thank goodness.
All right. Let's move on to some convention news.
While you're listening to this at line at TFCon, you can also know that the schedule for TF Nation has been released. One of the things that this notes on the schedule is there is going to be a challenge to endure the star dub of, you know, like headmasters. I think that might be more fun than Faction Feud. See who can be the last person standing. There's panels with some of the voice actors, Margaret Scott, Aaron Archer. As we've mentioned many times, they have Stan Bush. He's going to be having a panel and a concert, I believe. So they also have a G2 comic. It's done in the style of the Lady Bird Transformer books that we've mentioned on the show before. The premise is if Lady Bird had done books during the period of G2, it would have looked like this. So it's a pretty neat idea. Yeah, I love seeing conventions do things kind of out of left field like this. So if you want to see the full schedule, we have a link here in our show notes. If you are at TFCon Toronto, look around and find Matt Moylan. He's going to be there. He will be doing sketches, and he has a table in Artist Alley. He did the Lilformers comics for years. I think now he works for, I believe, Udon.
Udon.
Udon, who publishes comics.
He's a managing editor there.
Oh, managing editor. Okay. And they have the Street Fighter license, and so he's not really doing the web comics anymore, but he still comes to TFCon and you can get sketches. I got a Grimlock sketch from him years ago. It's great little fun.
I get a sketch from him every single year. Every year I've gone to TFCon. Started in 2012 and I've gotten one every year.
So he sees you coming. He's like, oh, him again.
Yep. He actually asks me what we're doing every year now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you don't bring him any comics to sign.
No.
So he likes you.
Yeah. It's just money. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that is all we got for convention news this week.
All right. And that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And say hi. We're right behind you at TFCon. All right, everyone. We'll see you. Hope you're having fun this weekend. Daryl and I will. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Welcome to the Turtles Power Hour, the podcast that gives Yoshi shit for wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt constantly. Comic books are good for reading. But yeah, that's all we've got for media news this week.
Oh, I moved the vinyl stuff.
Oh, you did.
Sorry.
We've done this to him in both shows this week.